Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
We may never know in this life why we were faced with a difficult test of character, but someday it will all be clear. When God evaluates the way we ran the race of life, He'll note every time we obeyed Him, no matter what. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In his series, What is God Up To?, Pastor Lutzer is using the lives of Joseph, Job, and John the Baptist to show that choosing God is always best, even when it hurts. It's a principle set forth in 1 John 2, verses 15 and 16.
It says, "Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," here we go now, the lust of the flesh, that's what Joseph encountered. The lust of the eyes, that was Job's problem, or at least God wanted to test whether he had that problem. And the boastful pride of life, the question of John the Baptist's success. All of these struggles, you see, that we face are really the choice between God or the things of this world. And the world is passing away and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. Notice it says, if you love the world, if you make wrong choices, if you choose the things that these three people didn't choose, you do not love God, but the love of the world is in you. What's the bottom line? Let me give you three brief conclusions. The first is that every trial, every temptation asks us to choose God. And you see, we indicate where we stand in our relationship with God by the choice that we make. We yield to temptation, we devalue Him in our minds and hearts. Now, of course, nobody can really devalue God because He is inherently worthy. We know that. But in our minds, we're saying He's not important because I have decided to choose that which He hates, and I love it, and I'm going to do my own thing. Now you understand why life is so difficult. What is God up to? God is up to training us and wooing us and drawing us so that we might love Him so supremely that when faced with trials and temptations, we may always say, "God, You are worth more to me than anything else, and I will choose in Your direction no matter how difficult it becomes. And even when it appears as if You are opposed to me, I will assume that Your word is true, that You are for me, and I'm going to hang in with You no matter what." And what did Peter say? "The trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes, that it may be found unto honor and glory and praise at the appearing of Jesus Christ." That's what God's up to. Glorifying His name through your decision and mine to follow Him no matter what. You see, long ago I've learned that you can warn people about sin all you like, and it doesn't help much. Helps a little, but not much. The much greater attraction is developing our relationship with God. And when we love Him, sin does not look good. Let me give you a second conclusion. Very important. When we choose for God, we are choosing for ourselves. When we choose for God, we are choosing for ourselves. You see, Satan has set up a false dichotomy. The impression sometimes is given that as Christians, in facing what we call temptation, the real question is, do I do what is good for myself or do I do what is good for God? That's nonsense. That's not the issue. Because when I choose God and value Him, I choose that which is best for myself. Joseph chose that which was best for him. David did not, and look at the consequences. Job chose that which was best for Job. John the Baptist chose that which is best and good for him. And that's why I can say to you without any ambiguity at all, I urge you, please pursue your own happiness. Pursue your own happiness. But do not pursue happiness on a wrong imperfect level, because that will lead you to pursue sinful ways to become happy, and they will always eventually be aborted and turned to ashes in your mouth. The truest joys, the greatest delight, is to delight in God. And that's the route to happiness. There's no dichotomy here. You say, but Joseph chose God and ended up in prison. But there in prison, God was doing something in his life that was so marvelous. God was using Joseph and pruning Joseph that he might become one of the greatest leaders that God would eventually use to get a nation to go down into Egypt. It's all part of God's plan, and he knows best. Remember Pascal, who said there once was in man a true happiness, of which now remains to him only the mark and the empty trace, which he in vain tries to fill from all of his surroundings. In vain he tries to fill it. Oh, there are moments when it appears as if he is, but it's vain. It has to be vain. But there are all these, he says, that are inadequate, because the infinite abyss that you were created with and that I was created with, that infinite abyss can only be filled by an infinite and immutable object, that is to say, only God himself. Only God himself. Let me give you a third conclusion. When I choose God, he is thereby glorified. He's glorified. Now, my friend, today, let me just simply say that, have you ever thought of how God feels because we forget about him so easily? We just go ahead and make choices and we say, this appears to be good for me, this is where I'm at now, and who cares what God has to say? And we grieve him. One of the things that I'd like to preach on sometimes is the grief of God. He says in the Old Testament, the ox knows his owner and the donkey knows his master's crib, but my people do not know me. My people forget me days beyond measure. Days beyond measure. He's forgotten until Sundays. He's forgotten until we have a catastrophe, and then we say, now where is God? And we blow him off week after week, day after day. We're not in his word. We do not spend time with him. We do not develop that love relationship, and that's why it is so easy for us to choose for ourselves. You really want to bring honor to God, don't you? I think that you do, or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be listening to this message. You'd have tuned me out long ago. You really, really down deep do want to bring honor to God in the months and years that he gives us to live upon planet Earth. I want you to know something, that the way in which we ascribe worth to God is to face tough decisions and choose in his favor, by his grace, and by yieldedness, as the choir sang a few moments ago, being all that he wants us to be, no matter what the cost is. And to simply say, God, I want to learn to love you so much that my own desires are going to take second place. And in loving you that much, I'm doing something good for myself. Now, can you believe God to that extent? You see, the reason that temptation has so much power is temptation says to me that if I follow my own desires, I will be made happy. I will be satisfied. If temptation never said that to me, it would have no power over me at all. But that's exactly what temptation says to us. Are you willing to call its bluff and to say it's a lie? When I choose God, that is the infinite sense of satisfaction. And when we choose the pleasures that are on his right hand, we delight ourselves in God, those decisions will become so much easier. We say to ourselves, yes, I want to please God, and yes, also, I would like to become a worshiper of God. And so we attend a worship service, and we here at the Moody Church have a worship committee, and we gather together every week, and we plan our morning services and our evening services, because we want people to worship God, and we choose hymns that enable us to worship God. I understand that, and I hope that worship takes place. But I want you to know something, that worship means ascribing worth to God, and true worship can only happen at great cost. Great cost. Talk is cheap. One day God says, Abraham, sacrifice your son, please. And Abraham says, okay, I've got two sons. I'm going to sacrifice Ishmael. The Lord said, no. He said, your only son, the one that I regard, take Isaac, take him to a mountain and sacrifice him. I'll bet he never told Sarah what he was going to do, but he got up early and he left and took a three-day journey. I would like to hear the conversation between Abraham and his boy en route to Mount Moriah. But interestingly, at the bottom of the mount, this is what Abraham says to the person who was there with the donkey and a servant. He said, you stay here because the lad and I are going to go yonder to the top of the hill and we're going to worship. Amazing worship, Abraham. You're going to kill your boy. Abraham said, I know. And that's what worship is. Worship is loving God so much that there is no relationship, there is no temptation, there is no sin that means as much to me as God. And that's what God is all about in the lives of believers today. Training us to love him so much that angels and demons and men will be able to look at us and say, there are still some people in the world who love God so much that nothing else matters. And that's what he's about in today's world. And then, of course, you know the rest of the story. The Lord came and wouldn't let Abraham kill his boy, and a ram was sacrificed in his place. But interestingly, think of the new revelation of God that Abraham had when he came down Mount Moriah. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Because every time you and I value God so highly that we choose him no matter what, he is glorified and we have worshiped. We have ascribed worth to him. And every time I choose to sin deliberately, just blow God off, I fail to ascribe worth to him. I lower him and say, he really doesn't make much difference in my life. Now let me ask you today, are you letting God develop that love that is so strong that it enables you and me to make those right decisions? Or are you rebelling against God? You're rebelling against circumstances. You're rebelling against temptation. You're rebelling against all of the pressures of life, and you're saying no to God. God says today, open your life to me. Learn to love me so much that you'll be able to say yes to me, no matter the cost.
And I might say, my friend, that the love that I am talking about is developed over a period of time. There may be failures, but I hope that all of us are on the right trajectory, loving God more and more. You know, as you walk in the Christian life, the most difficult issue that we face is the problem of evil. How could a good God allow all of the evil that takes place on planet Earth? That's one of the reasons I wrote the booklet entitled God's Hidden Agenda, Uncovering His Good Plan in an Evil World. For a gift of any amount, we're making this booklet available for you.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer, concluding Souls in Conflict, part of his series on What is God Up To? Many believe the stage is set for the last act in Earth's history. Next time on Running to Win, Erwin Lutzer brings part one of The Final Battle, what the Bible reveals about the climactic series of end-time events yet to come. Pastor Lutzer has written a booklet called God's Hidden Agenda. We'd like to send this as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.